ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So in the verse number 5, the demigods are replying to Dadichi. And they call him exalted Brahmana. And then they say that pious persons like you are very kind to affectionate to people in general. The words in Sanskrit, Bhuta Anukampinam means who are very sympathetic. Because this is what Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita in a purport. It's a symptom of a Brahmana. Someone who is very open-hearted, big-hearted, and therefore has room to have sympathy towards others. So the demigods are following the first rule in asking for charity. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur said that when you ask for charity, you first praise the person before you ask them something. You first say that you are the most exalted of all. And you should fall at their feet and say, you are so great. And when the person says, yes, you are very intelligent, you have understood everything. Then you can ask something. Then they ask the question, what can't such pious souls give for the benefit of others? And then they answer their own question. They say they can give everything, including their bodies. And the next verse, number 6. So this verse has two parts. And according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, there are two people speaking in this verse. The first is the sage, Dadichi. And he's speaking from the, those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pain. So he's speaking from the point of view of the person who's being asked for charity. And he says, swa-artha para, that the persons who are asking from you, they're just self-interested. They need something for themselves. He said, lokaha means the people in general who are materialistic. So he says, na veda para sankatam. They don't know. Veda means to know. Na means not. Para sankatam means the pain of others. So they want something from themselves and they're asking from someone, but they don't know that it's causing pain to that other person. In the in this world, which is based on exploitation of others. Materialistic people can justify anything. I justify based on my personal needs and material desires. Because I have to live, I have to survive, therefore I have to take from you. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, hastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam palguni tatra mahatam jivo jiva sajivanam, that the nature of this world is that one living being is taking the life of another to survive. Even the most gentle of people have to survive, keep his body alive by eating the bodies of others. So the sage is pointing this out, that you're coming and asking charity, but you don't know, is this causing me pain? And then the second half of the verse is from the point of view of those who are asking for the charity. So the demigods say, he who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty. Because otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want. So Prabhupada then begins his purport by describing that this verse describes two people. One who gives charity and one who begs for it. So then we hear this basic principle again by Prabhupada quoting the verse from Chanakya Pandit. And that is, everything within this material world will be destroyed. And therefore, one should use everything for good purposes. This is a mantra that anyone could live by. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were just looking at a verse where Krishna tells Sri Uddhava, that he should use different kinds of evidence to observe how the world is temporary. He says, Shruti Pratyaksham Aityam, that you should look at the Shruti, the Vedas. They all say the world's very temporary, you can't keep anything. Then he says, Pratyaksham, you should use your direct experience to see how things don't last in this world.
So,
Then he says, Shruti Pratyaksham Aityam, that you should use direct, you should take Aityam, which means that knowledge which is passed down from previous generations. Then he says, Anumanam, you should use logic to see how, since nothing you've ever experienced or anything in this world everything in this world is temporary, you should see that everything you have is temporary. Pranayeshu avanasthanad. He said, from this pramanam, from this evidence, from these four kinds of evidence, pramanam avanasthanad, you should see that the material world is avasthanam, which means it doesn't have any real standing. Sthana means like a steady position. In English, the word is stand. That comes from sthana. Or shta, shta, the word in Sanskrit, shta, which also means we talk about the position in devotional service that one reaches called nishta. It means you have a permanent position. You're not here today and then somewhere else tomorrow. So Krishna said, anavastanad, the material world has no standing. In the Gita, Krishna compares the material world to a tree, a vriksha. And the Acharya is commenting on that verse in the Gita, say, vriksha means that which will be cut off. So Krishna concludes the verse by saying, vikalpatsa virajite. He says, therefore, seeing this, you should become detached. And similar in the Gita, Krishna says, Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachadhira nachasampratishta ashvatam evam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena jritena chitva. That the material world is an entangling place. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how you got here. You don't know the purpose of life. So Krishna says, just cut the tree down altogether. How? How do you cut it down? With detachment.
And
last year when we were here in Japan, we were reading from Gajendra Mokshana. And Gajendra says, it's a big debate about what you're actually supposed to do in life. That's why at universities there are many different departments. And kids, before they go to school, they think, what should I do? Engineer or liberal arts? And some philosophers say, you should try to enjoy life while you can. And others say, the material world's temporary, you shouldn't enjoy it. Should not. So Gajendra said, so how are you supposed to decide? So he says, I'll follow the acharyas. They all say that the material world's a lost cause. He says, because they say, I'll just accept it and do what they say. So Krishna confirms, vikalpatsavirajate, because it's a temporary place, you should be detached from it. And the best kind of a detachment is through understanding who it belongs to. In the Sri Upanishad, there's a verse that solves all one's problems in life. And in this verse, it is said that everything in this world is controlled and owned by the Lord. Isavasyam idang sarvam. Everything is. Everything belongs to Isha, the Supreme Controller. So that solves all the problems. Nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna. If one simply adapts this one principle, then he has no more problem in life. Ishavasyam idang sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat. And he's also the controller of everything. So if you can't control then the world, then why try? Does it make you feel better, Ananta Gauranga? Now, Ananta, our temple president, feels better from hearing the verse. As always, if you try to take some responsibility, let's say if you're trying to take responsibility for pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. Every day you'll get good news and you'll also get bad news. And most of it you can't do much about. You do the best you can, but you have to understand that Krishna is the controller. So, tena tyak tena bunjita then says that there's enough set aside for each person. Every living entity has, Krishna sets aside a certain quota. Tena tyak tena bunjita, for his enjoyment. Krishna is so kind, he provides every single living entity with enough quota for that living entity's enjoyment. Makrida kasya swiddhanam. Therefore, it says, don't be attached to controlling and don't be attached to owning anything. This advice is irrefutable. The evidence is irrefutable. So if one can develop a momentum towards giving what one has to Krishna. Yeah. A habit? Yeah. And also Krishna says, Yadricha labasantushto. He said, and also get in the habit of accepting those things that come of their own accord. Then you'll feel satisfied. So, this Prabhupada says it means that one is advanced in knowledge. And that is that he's always prepared to sacrifice for a better cause. It's not always possible to do everything that one wants to do. And one may hear about the advanced stages of devotional service. But it may be out of one's reach. But there's nothing that stops anyone from preparing to reach those stages. So in the Lilamrita about Prabhupada's life, it says, there's a whole section called A Lifetime in Preparation. Prepare. It means, like when you're cooking, you prepare things. Preparing means to cut them up. Good cooks, they cut everything up ahead of time, so it's neat little stacks. Then when the water's boiling, you can just throw everything in at the right time. So if one feels I'm not in a good position right now, spiritually, you can prepare. Get ready to be in that position. And the way to do that is prepare to sacrifice for a better cause. And in the Gita, Krishna says you can start with small things to prepare yourself to give everything to Krishna. So, in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says that you should prepare yourself by practicing the regulations of devotional service. Vaidhi. Vaidhi bhakti. I may not feel like chanting my rounds or going to Mangala Arati, but I'm preparing myself for a time when I will feel like doing it. And Krishna says, if you can't do that, then you can work in the world. And practice giving away some of the result of your work. As one begins to realize, when I give it away, then I actually feel better. It seems like I should feel worse when I give it away to Krishna. But actually, I feel better. This is an awakening of a spiritual sentiment. And then Krishna says, if you can't do that, then just try to volunteer for some cause, for some good cause, anywhere. Be a volunteer. See how it feels for you. It's a kind of preparation for giving everything to Krishna. So then Prabhupada says, at the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position. And I'm wondering if there's what the word is in Japanese, but he says, because they're under the spell of a godless civilization. A spell is a noroi. Like if a wizard, you know, is like, puts his wand and is like, I'm under a spell. So Prabhupada's using this language to point out that everybody in the world is under this spell of illusion. And then finally, he gives a call to action in this purport. Call to action. He says that the Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted learned persons. Who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. Then again he says, we therefore invite all men and women, advanced in knowledge, to join the Krishna consciousness movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. And this is typical of how Prabhupada brings everybody into the system of devotional service. I might read about Didichi and think, I could never do that. I'll never give my body. But Prabhupada is here saying, no, you can do it. Here's the way you can be just like Didichi, by following in his footsteps. Just join the Krishna consciousness movement and use your life, your body, mind, and words, all your talents, all your money, for helping to revive Krishna consciousness. Then you're just like Didichi. And we'll take a few reflections. And we also want to welcome everybody who joined us online today. Everyone, please say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, Satyadev Prabhu.
Actually, it's not a reflection, it's more of a question.
A question, okay.
Well, I just remember when we were in Jagannathpuri on the retreat. And wherever we went, there was Harinam. Prasadam
distribution.
And book distribution. And for many of the participants, like especially from Japan and China, they had never experienced book distribution
で、その特にあの中国とか日本から行った人たちはそういう意味でのその本配りっていうのはあまり体験したことがなかった。
The books were actually already paid for.
もちろん本はね、すでにあのちゃんとお金の分はもうもらってあったんですね。
So there really wasn't a pressure to collect money.
だからみんなにね、そのお金を集めなきゃいけないというような、そういうあのプレッシャーはなかったはずです。
And the first day, the devotees enthusiastically gave out the books.
で、そのディボティたちが、もう本当にみんな一生懸命ね、本配りをしたときに、最初の日ですけれども。
And then Vaisheshika Prabhu emphasized the importance of also asking for donations for the books.
で、その時にバイシャシェカプラブがその本をあげるだけではなくて、少し何かね、こう寄付をもらいなさいと、そういうことを強調したわけです。
So some of the devotees then had some hesitation.
で、そしたら天使の中でもね、それできないんじゃないかというちょっと躊躇する人も出てきた。
Because it's easy to give, but it's not so easy to ask.
あげるのは簡単だけれども、何か寄付をくださいとこう頼むのはちょっとね、難しい。
So Prabhupada makes a point here in the purport. He says that a beggar should have some consideration for who he's begging from. In other words, if it looks like the person doesn't have the means to give, then the beggar shouldn't ask that person.
Prabhupada 今日の説のところでね、その、あの、慈善を施してくださいって言ってる人は、頼んでる相手の人の状況っていうのがもうね、よく知らなきゃいけない。もしその人が本当に困ってる人だったら、その人からそのそういう人 の, あ の, なんていうの状況っていうのを、ね、ちゃんと把握して頼まなきゃいけない。
So one of the devotees, they made, I don't remember who it was, but they distributed a book to a young Indian couple who were ditch diggers.
で、その、あの、あ、そう、一人の賢者がね、その、あの、穴を掘ってる、道端の穴を掘ってるそのカップがいた、若いカップがいたんですね。その人たちに、本をあげて寄付を頼んだ。
So those are some of the poorest people in India.
でもそういう人たちでもインドでもね、本当にその最低の生活をしているような人たちなんですね。
But still, the devotee asked them for a donation.
それでもそういう人たちにも寄付を頼んだわけです。
And as I recall, they actually gave something.
で、それでもそういう人たちでさえも何かを少しくれる。
So this seems to contradict.
でも今のその、あの、あった出来事っていうのはね、プラヴァパタのこの解説の中で言ってることとはちょっと矛盾してるんじゃないでしょうか。
But I know you can explain this apparent contradiction.
もちろんそのバーチャシェカさんはこの矛盾をちゃんとあの答えてくださると思います。
Thank you for your excellent question, Satyadeva Prabhu. A few thoughts about this. One is regarding asking for donations for books. In the Gita, Krishna says you shouldn't give this message to people who are not devoted or austere.
このメッセージというのはその本当にそういう敬愛の心がある人あるいはその苦行アステア苦しんでる人そういう人たちにあげてはいけない。
And in the, during the fast pace of book distribution when you meet somebody and you have to size them up within 5 or 10 seconds
であの本配りしてるっていうのはね本当に 5秒10秒の間にねこの人は一体どういう人かということを見極めなきゃいけないわけですね。
How will you know if they're devoted or austere?
で彼らが本当に困ってるのかあるいはそのそういう心があるのかっていうのをどういうふうに見極めたらいいでしょうか。
Well, one simple way is to ask them for donation.
でそれは簡単なものっていうのはその人にお金をくださいということですね。
First of all, it's a very small price to pay to receive a transcendental book.
でもちろんその超越的な本を受け取ったらそのお返しに返してくるあのおかくれるお金っていうのは本当に小さいものです。
Money is just an idea.
お金っていうのはその考えにすぎないんですね。アイデアにすぎない。
That I have something, so I have some energy in reserve that I can give to other people.
私は少しだけこの自分のエネルギー、自分の中に何かがあってそれを他の人にあげることができる。そういう考えですね。
the paper we exchange is actually worthless. So we know that it's an austerity to give, because when we ask people for donation, we can see it in their face. And we also know ourselves, when someone, even a friend, asks us for a donation or something, even a loan, which we know we won't get back, we feel a little hesitation maybe. So it's an austerity to give even one yen, one paisa. Because I'm attached. I think it's mine. And this money is my protection in life. And if I hand it over to a devotee for a book, it's not only an act of austerity, but also of devotion. So also, the idea that it's easier to give than it is to take is not necessarily true. Not everyone takes, even if you give for free. In fact, many people have spread their religion around the world by forcing people to take. Here, take this. No, no thanks. No, really take it or I'll kill you. Not everyone wants to take even the best thing. So, some people, when you offer, they won't take it. But we notice when we ask people who do take a book for a donation, it actually makes them happy. They feel satisfied that they gave something in return. And it also gives them an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. How often does somebody get a chance to give something to Krishna? So I pointed that out to the devotees from China, because they were giving away, some of them were giving the books away free. And I said, you might not want to miss this great opportunity. First of all, the opportunity of giving people the chance to give something. Don't deprive them of that opportunity. And because I may have a false ego that I'm very charitable, I just give away for free. But somebody who asks for something in return is doing even greater benefit. Of course, Prabhupada called this whole affair a great art. You have to know how to do it. But if devotees are actually collecting on behalf of Krishna,
Krishna's代理人の人として、
Krishna very quickly empowers them. And we saw that the devotees who were hesitant to ask for donations, after I explained it to them, and they began asking for donations, became very enlivened and empowered.